Everything I do gonna be funky.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Podcast. I'm Steve Benson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
And don't you forget, nothing you are about to hear is true.
Fear not, and your ass will follow. The kingdom of heaven is within.
Fear not, and your ass will follow.
The kingdom of heaven is within.
So my buddy, MP, who is finding a way to get himself on the show every week, which is fine with me.
That's fine. Yeah, fine, exactly.
You know, it since his show is on next, if you're on RFI.FM, you know, why not do an indie radio hours next? So anyway, he said he heard Paul request a call for topics, and he says, so I direct you to this. He sent me a link to a YouTube video, and it fits right in with what the topic of the week. I mean, and by topic of the week, I don't just mean what we're talking about. I mean, it's like what everybody's talking about. If you're from Indiana, you're talking about the religious, and I'm doing air quotes now. You ready with the Jackie Chan thing? Religious freedom bill, which has very little to do with freedom. And,
Or religion.
Nothing to do with religion.
Just pointing it out.
Yeah, I'm glad you did point that out, because it has nothing to do with religion. As I said in the DP, in the midweek DP, I'm not much of a Christian. I realize that. But the Jesus I learned about when I was a kid, he loved everybody, not just breeders.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Anyway, so in the vein of Jesus and religion and people hiding behind their religion and pretending to they're hiding behind religion and using it to actually discriminate against gay people. But
exactly,
here's a band who I don't know if they discriminate against gay people. I have no idea. In fact, if you look at them, one or two of them might be gay. Anyway, I'm just gonna play
if you
a snippet,
look at them.
And then I'll let you decide if you want to play more of it. And I'll tell everybody who it is and how this came about.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my
friend. He's one dude that will never leave you flat.
That's right. Who was that?
That, my friend.
This is my friend. Jesus is my friend.
Sunseed. And at the advice of Mr. Cavalier, I pulled up their Wikipedia page. And, there it is. Sunseed. They are a pop band formed, they're a Roman Catholic pop band. That's a genre I never even knew existed. Formed at the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Brooklyn, New York. No sleep till. No sleep till Brooklyn. In the late 70s.
Might have seen Richie.
And they are serious as a heart attack. I thought it was like a Dr. Demento episode.
Right. I thought you were playing like the Wiggles or something. I was just like, what is that?
No, that's for now, real, man.
Now I'm going to, I'll look it up.
They played it on the Do It Indie Radio Hour a couple weeks ago, and I heard it. And I just thought, that's got to be a joke. It ain't no joke.
No, man. That's like the, I'm trying to figure out the best way to bring this up. Have you seen the and I'll censor myself because it is offensive. But have you seen the Jesus is my N-word video?
No.
Look it up. It's some preacher did this video, and it's ironically fantastic because it's terrible.
Oh man.
I mean, I would, bad. You know, I would squeeze it into the show too, but I, you know, there are some things I'll stay away from. So,
well, the topic of this so-called religious freedom bill is a pretty hot topic. In fact, that midweek DP handed us our third biggest day in the history of Don't Panic. I was looking at the stats and. First of all, it said we had 60 hits on the 25th. Well, today, which is, you know, when we're recording this. And it said that we have 7 hits tomorrow.
4 days ago.
So people from the future are now listening to the Midweek DP.
That's how awesome it is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should just, like, give each episode, like, hot topic titles, even if we don't discuss them.
Oh, good idea.
You know. But, no, it's crazy, dude, because, you know, after I listened to your short this morning and or this afternoon, and then it was like, it's kind of like when you start liking, like, a classic car, you'll see it everywhere. You never saw it until you thought about it. Well, after you posted it, I mean, I knew about it, but it was like, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Facebook is just piled on with it.
It's blowing up.
And even like my friends in like other states across the country are just like posting about it. And I know, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you know, it's just fucking Facebook. It's not reality.
Right.
But wow, you know, this is apparently a big deal.
Hey, that's because I have my finger on the pulse of what's hot. That's why.
Clearly. Well, as long as you got your finger on something, it's okay.
That is no doubt. So, you didn't warn me that somebody was sneaking up behind me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was too busy drinking. I missed that.
Okay.
It would have been so funny It would have been so funny last week had Constance been like early Halloween shopping and had like a mask, you know. And she came down the stairs, was like, "Hey, look, Steve, I got a new mask and this knife I just bought from the hardware store." I also won't warn you about the rabbit ears going on behind you.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, if she's not careful, we'll start talking about her.
So the kids are having,
and the dog,
kids are on spring break. All right.
Oh, I'm laughing. Mine start next week.
Oh yeah. And getting them to go to bed has been, let's say, a challenge.
No, really? How's that work?
And it's 10:30 here and we're still not sleeping, but let's take this opportunity to ask them what they think. Hey, kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, some people may not like the fact that I'm bringing the kids in on this, but we'll give it a try anyway.
Oh, well, you know what? They can stop listening anytime. Then.
Well, they can't hear you, so.
No, I meant the people that don't like it.
Oh, the people that get offended?
Yeah.
So, the Indiana... Basically, the Congress. We have a Senate and a House of Representatives, right? They just passed a bill that said it's okay if you have a business, it's okay to discriminate against certain people, including gay people, all right? Mm-hmm. You know, the two mommies and two daddies and that kind of stuff. And the governor, our neighbor, is going to sign that bill and make it a law that it's okay that if you don't like people because they're that because of your religion, basically.
He's mean.
I mean, what do you think of that law? Is that a good law?
I think she just answered it.
You have to remember that people can't see you, so you have to speak up. You can't just shake your head.
Oh, yeah. No.
What's wrong with it? I mean, if I have a religious belief, and my religious belief is that I shouldn't, let's say I own a lemonade stand, and I have a religious belief that people shouldn't wear blue hats, and somebody with a blue hat comes and wants to buy lemonade, shouldn't I be able not to sell lemonade if I don't want to sell lemonade?
How about this is the law? You can't let anyone in that throws poop at people.
Well, that some
that's almost
religion,
a, that, that that's almost as logical a law.
Maybe that's about as logical as anything, I guess. Where did I go wrong? So the law should be: I don't like people. I don't want people who throw poop to come in my store. Well, so there's my people that wear blue hats argument, right?
Yeah.
And I said, what if my religion says I don't like people who wear blue hats? I don't want to serve them. First of all, that's an absolutely ludicrous argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
That argument is, it's like, who would do that? So here's my whole thing, and I touched on this a little bit before. Did we have a rash of government, like, representatives coming in and forcing businesses to serve? I mean, were there hordes of gay people wandering the streets and trying to get into the Christian Science reading room, you know, and like trying to copulate on the altar or something? I mean, what is it we're protecting people from here? I absolutely think it's super obvious to me that the only reason to pass this law was the reason to pass this law was flat out for political points. Mike Pence wants to be president, and so Mike Pence needed an issue that would make national news. Hey, mission accomplished, right? And to somebody might say, well, how's that going to get him elected? To be the nominee for today's Republican Party, to be the nominee for president, you have to be so right-wing conservative, you make Reagan look like a hippie. And you know, Rush Limbaugh look like a drum circle. Well, of course, the argument is, well, what about Mitt Romney? He wasn't that far right. Well, the problem there was, a problem or not a problem. We had John McCain, who was like the party favorite, and you had that Rick Santorum guy. Now he's the guy that would make, I mean, you got Rush Limbaugh's going, hey, Rick, you know, lighten up on the religious stuff. So anyway, Mike Pence was, but see, the guy's an empty suit. So he takes an issue like this. He's like, oh, here's one. This will endear me to the Christian right, and I can get myself elected. That's the only reason. There's no other practical application of this law. None.
Well, there's two stupid points about this whole thing as far as I see it. As far as, like, getting the religious right on your side, they're already on your side. by definition, they're already going to vote for you, because they will vote for the right, the Republican Party, simply because of their perceived religious air. Right? They're already going to vote for you. You're not going to win any more over. They're already voting for you. The other thing I can't figure out is All of the businesses, and I assume there's probably like two that are causing all these problems. All of the businesses, let's say there's a lot of them. All of the businesses that are just screaming, we don't want to serve gay people or people with blue hats or people that throw poop. The thing about it is okay, so you don't want to serve a certain amount of people. Well, you just lost money. You're voting for, you want a guy to make a law that is going to cause you to lose money. That's not good business.
Yeah, it's not good business.
Do you understand what I'm saying? They're like, you know, we don't want to serve you. Your money's not good enough.
Right.
And then they'll lose money, and it's just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. I don't care who the hell you are.
Look,
you know,
man,
unless you're...
Unless you're who? Oh, I cut you off too quick.
I'm sorry. Unless you're like a fucking child molester or something. I don't care who the fuck you are. You know, your money's just as good as the next guy's. Mm-hmm. That's business boils down to dollars spent versus dollars made. If you're not making money, if you're losing money because you lost part of your clientele, not good business practice.
Look, business doesn't see black, white. Business doesn't see straight, crooked, gay. Business sees green, all right?
All right, right.
Green
right.
Pieces of paper. And the wrinkled ones spend just as good as the straight ones, spend just as good as the old ones, spend just as good as the new ones, right? So in terms of straight up business, that you're right, it's about the dollar. But I would also say that operating an ethical business is important as well. You want to be a good community citizen. You want to, I won't say everybody needs to do this. I really don't care. Somebody wants to run a business, not be ethical, fine, just follow the law.
The design model should be ethical business practice.
Yeah. Well, sure. Essentially. Sure. Yeah. But the thing is, you're right. I mean, why do you care? And the point I was making the other day is the only reason this is a thing is somebody made a big deal out of it, right? I think the story was there was a bakery, and there were these guys who were went to this bakery all the time, and then asked the bakery to make their wedding cake. Well, okay, first of all,
right.
Come on, just make the goddamn cake, all right?
Right.
Second of all, so you don't want to make the cake because you got some weird interpretation of the Bible that says gay people are evil. You don't want to make the cake. Fine. Unless you're trying to make a point, come up with some excuse.
Right. Or
why do you got to say, I don't support your wedding, so I don't want to do this.
Or if you're that damn religious, then here's what you do. You take their money, you make their cake, you put Jack and Jack on top of the cake or whoever, take their money, give it to your church.
Yeah.
Turn this perceived evil into what you perceive as good.
Well, that's a great point. If a couple comes in that's a man and a woman, I like your, if you're so damn religious point, because you're singling out these people, right? These people who happen to be the same sex. How about if I go in there with my fiance, maybe they need to ask and have her sign something that says she's a virgin. Because if she's not, they're going to be celebrating a wedding with two people who have sinned, right? We're living in sin.
Exactly. Exactly.
How about they ask if I've been divorced before? Because if I've been divorced and I'm like now getting married to someone, well, that's not, according to their religion, that's not good either. So why don't they? Okay, I would be in total support of this, right? And I would even go for this law. Christian bakery, right? And list out put on the front door, we only serve Christian marriages, and we want to know that it's a devout Christian marriage before we'll make the cake. And they make that really clear up front. I'm fine. Go ahead, do that. Yeah. If you can find that market, good luck.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And all of that is really, it is to make the point that, you know, and I know that it has nothing to do with religious freedom. It has nothing to do with protecting a business owner's right to not serve somebody who has different religious practices than they do. It has nothing to do with that. These in Indiana for 4 years or more, they wasted taxpayer money trying to pass a ban on same-sex marriage and tried to get it into the Indiana Constitution. Well,
right.
Who the hell cares? Why spend? I mean, are we officially out of other problems? I mean, we just don't have any other problems.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to what we talked about a couple shows ago about how, you take some tiny little thing, make a big stink about it, quote unquote fix it. Mm-hmm. I'll put the Jackie Chan quotes, quote unquote fix it, and suddenly you're like, you know, you're in the spotlight. It's not a problem. You make it a problem, and then you fix said made up problem.
Yeah.
And then you look great. That's all it fucking is. Meanwhile, you know, people are starving. The education system blows ass. The roads are a wreck. I don't even know what the fuck the poverty level is at the moment. You know, they tell us it's at an all-time, you know, low, but I still don't believe it. But all this shit, the real shit that can't, that needs to be fixed, isn't even really touched. It's hot button, like I said, hot button to get it, you know, in everybody's face so that when it comes down to it, that name stands out when you're punching holes in the little cards at the on election day.
Yeah.
That's all it is. In the meantime, these people are just marching along to it like not realizing they're being played. You know? They don't give a fuck about, you know, your business's ethical, you know, practices as to whether or not who you serve. They're just trying to get in, you know, get elected, get in an office. They don't give a shit. And you're ignorant if you believe otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't understand people who are so easily just like, this is why I don't talk about politics too much. Cause like I get like, I'm getting warm right now. I don't understand people who are so ignorant to think that their fucking party even gives a shit about them in the first place. So why would they care? You know, I don't know.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Did that help?
Serenity now.
Serenity now! So,
but yes, go ahead.
So here's how I stopped getting... So I used to get pretty worked up too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself on Facebook, or before Facebook, I had my own message board I was running. I would get so worked up, and it would bother me all ding-dong day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I finally realized, and I'm not saying it was like a light switch, like all of a sudden I was like, oh, now I'm enlightened. I get it, because sometimes I slip back into it. But what I realized was, to what you were just saying, there's a lot of bandwagon jumping. There's this thing that, you know, I think of it as sort of like tribalism, and it's a survival instinct. When we were as if it was you and me, when our ancient ancestors were on the Serengeti Plain trying to survive, you had to have a tribe. You could not survive by yourself, right? And so you had to find a group of people, or you were born into a group of people, right? You had to have it had to be us against them, because there were limited resources, everything was scarce. If they got a morsel of food, that was a morsel of food you and your tribe didn't get, right? So they had to be wrong, we had to be right, and we had to fight to the, you know, to the live and death, right? So unfortunately, human evolution is a very slow process. So I think we got some hard wiring in us that still, like, I've got to find a tribe and I've got to fit in. And every instinct within us, our default position is to agree with the tribe. So in the American political system, and in fact, probably most political systems in the world, the politicians have figured out a way to get Joe into one tribe and marry into another tribe. And in fact, they've been so effective at it that the last however many presidential elections, the popular vote has been 52-48 is considered a landslide now. 51-49 is considered a comfortable victory. And I mean, frickin' Bush and Gore were, you know, we were down to hanging chads, you know, we're trying to decide whether to count a dented chad, right? It's so freaking close. And what that tells you is They have been so successful in getting us all associated with a little tribe that, you know, Mike Pence could have come out to pass a law that says, you know, gay people should, you know, have to wear a pink triangle. And you would have a certain segment of his party that would go, well, you know, I got nothing against gay people. I'm sure that there are great gay people, but don't you think it's okay to like know who's gay and who's not gay? I mean, if it's against my religion to serve a gay person, don't you think it should be easier to tell, you know, who's gay and who's not gay? And there's a certain segment that would go along with it. And I'm not saying it would be in the, you know, above 20%, but there would be a percent that would go along with it because that instinct is so strong. Once I got that, then I realized that the political discussions were less, for me, they're less about like trying to convince somebody I'm right, because you're never going to do that.
No.
Even though we all know I am right. And more about trying to make larger points.
Mm-hmm.
So this idiotic bill that's been passed, I had to think a long time about it because, as you know, I'm a libertarian, small L. Mm-hmm. I have libertarian leanings. And a libertarian would say government should be, shouldn't be in the business of saying, of telling businesses anything that they should be doing.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, the trap that the libertarian trap would be, somebody would say, oh, well, you know, so you're saying if somebody doesn't like black people, they ought to be able to not serve them. And the libertarian trap would be, and Rand Paul, who's a Republican, a very, you know, he's known as a libertarian leaning Republican. He got himself into that trap and he allowed himself to be snared. And he's like, well, you know, the free market would take care of discrimination and would keep businesses from discriminating because we would find out about it. And they, you know, the publicity would be so bad that the business would be shut down. So the free market would handle that. That's the trap, because people go, he just said that it's okay to discriminate against black people. He must be racist.
Exactly.
So my message to libertarians is don't let yourself get snared in that trap. So libertarianism, practical libertarianism 101. So somebody asked that question, like, so you're saying it, so take this law on gay people. And I've had on, they're trying to say it's not about gay people. And there might be some conservatives right now screaming at their computer or at their iPod going, stop saying it's a bill about gay people. It's not about gay people. It's about religious freedom. All right, fine. You go ahead and believe that. and I'll just keep, you know, saying what I truly believe, which is it's about discrimination. Anyway. It's
exactly what it is. It's so a gate. It's a fucking gateway. It's a gateway, yes, with a hyphen. Gateway.
They couldn't pass the bill that said we don't like homosexuals. They couldn't pass that bill. So they did this one instead.
Wrap it around religion, which apparently everyone seems to think this country was founded on. And then you can say whatever the fuck you want because it's your religion.
Yeah.
You know, it'll start with that. I think we touched on it a while back too, but you know, I have this thing about how everything is just the start of something bad that's going to get worse. It's like, you know, where does it end? It starts with this, then it goes to, like you said, blue hats, flinging poop, you know, African Americans, it never ends. It's whoever the fuck you don't want to serve, and you'll find whatever cockamamie passage you want to justify when really you're just an asshole.
Every argument I've had on this with people who support the bill has been a hypothetical argument. It's always hypothetical, right? And it's always some ludicrous, like, well, let's say you're a black woman and some KKK members came walking in, Should that black woman be forced to serve the KKK members? Like, if you have to go to an extreme hypothetical to make your point, you've already lost the argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
There ought to be a
exactly because you have no valid argument.
there ought to be a
right.
There ought to be a law for, call it Vincent's law. If you have to mention the KKK, you've already lost the argument.
Well, you know, and in the grand tradition of you know, nothing you've heard is true. I'm not by any means an authority on the Bible, but isn't there a passage about, you know, what is it, loving the sinner but hating the sin?
Well, what, of course.
You know, okay, you don't like the fact that you're uncomfortable with, supposedly, you know, the one business out of 100 doesn't like the fact that one man is in love with another man, or a woman is in love with a woman, or whatever. You know, you don't have to condone it, but it's like, you know, you don't have to condone that act, but there, you know, why does it have to come down to you not wanting to serve them? Then it's still, I'm a broken record. It always just comes back to, it starts there and it just gets worse.
Yeah. The, you know, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, mm-hmm. I want to give the libertarian argument against this bill. And I'll start by giving the hardcore libertarian argument for the bill. And then I'll talk about why that's bullshit. And I'll give, for you libertarians out there who are saying, well, give me a reason, give me some arguments against it, I'd be happy to do that if you think that's a good idea.
Pop, I'm getting married. It's a girl. I met her at school. It's this wonderful, are you upset? But let me tell you why.
Don't use that tone to me.
What tone?
That sarcastic, contemptuous tone that means you know everything because you're a man and I know nothing because I'm a woman.
You're not a woman.
Oh, you bastard.
Are you crazy? You can't get married. It's out of the question.
We've been sleeping together for a year.
Oh, God. Has he been tested?
Oh, Kevin.
Yes, and so have I.
Oh!
Who's his father? His father is in the arts.
You do an eclectic celebration of the dance. You do Fosse, Fosse, Fosse. You do Martha Graham, Martha Graham, Martha Graham. Or Madonna, Madonna, Madonna.
But you keep it all inside.
What does the mother do? She's a housewife.
Oh, I could play it straight.
You take your knife and you smear. Men smear.
Smear,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the pinky down. I hold the knife boldly in the strength.
How can I pierce the toast?
Al, you old so-and-so. How do you feel about that call today? I mean, the Dolphins, 4th-and-3 play on their 30-yard line with only 34 seconds to go.
How do you think I feel? Betrayed, bewildered.
Call me.
Perfect. Won't you come in?
Senator Keeley, Mrs. Keeley, come here and give me a hug.
We are family. I got all my sisters with me.
I've never felt such tension. It's like riding a psychotic horse towards a burning stable.
Oh God, it's a nightmare.
Get up, everybody, and sing.
Something about the father and Mrs. Coleman. I can't put my finger on
it's
it.
It's nothing.
What do you mean?
It's nothing.
It is
Dad,
something.
It is nothing.
Something very strange is going on.
We are family.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic podcast, and we've been telling lies for a half an hour. Why not keep it up?
You didn't like accidentally shut it off, did you?
No. I better check.
Okay. See, I'm out of beer. I had to go straight to whiskey. So. That's right.
We're still not telling the truth. Thank you for coming back. And as we know, there is no truth. So, all right.
That's right.
So I made a promise and I'm going to stick by it. The libertarian argument for the bill and then the libertarian argument against the bill. Now, if you're not libertarian, you know, if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican or you're nothing, if you're independent, whatever, mm-hmm. the reason I'm picking libertarianism is, it's the closest thing to what I think most people actually believe. So if they were able to free their mind from the yoke of one of the tribes, I think a ton mm-hmm. of people would lean toward libertarianism if they just knew
right.
it was out there. Now, there are plenty right. of people who are socialist who absolutely believe the government is the answer to everything and mm-hmm. ought to have, you know, ultimate power. But I don't think that's a huge number of people. Anyway, so
right.
here we go. Libertarian argument for this bill would say, hey, if I have a business and I want to discriminate, I shouldn't even need religion to be able to discriminate. I should be able to say to anybody that walks in that door, I will serve you or I will not serve you. The government yeah. has no business telling me who I should serve coming in my front door. All right, fine. Mm-hmm. That on its surface sounds great because it really does line up with the libertarian philosophy that people go, well, but yeah, but then you have discrimination and next thing you know, black people can't sit at the counter anymore. And
right.
the hardcore, libertarian might say, well, bordering on anarchist would say, oh, well, eventually over time that would be taken care of because as societal attitudes change, people aren't going to, even white people aren't going to go to that business because they're going to say, I don't want to go there. They discriminate against black people. And those businesses would end up either shutting down or it wouldn't matter because enough other businesses would sprout up that you would have plenty of other choices. And so that's kind of how the argument goes. They're basically saying two things. One, they're saying, first of all, we have a better solution. It's called the free market. You don't have to force anybody to do anything. And it will handle these situations better, faster, more efficiently. The second argument they're making is it doesn't even matter if it does a better job because the government has no right to tell me what to do with my business. If they can tell me who to serve coming in my front door, what's next? Can they also tell me what to serve? Like, right. can they tell me what color my walls need to be? Can they tell me how big my tables need to be? And in fact, that's the slippery slope we've gone down. We're now at the point where if you want to open a restaurant, you can't even start for less than $300,000 or $400,000 because of all the right. regulations around exactly how your kitchen has to be, what the parking lot, how many spots need to be in the parking lot, probably right down to the type of table that you buy, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of go, well, fine, government, why don't you just fucking open the restaurant? use your money.
Right.
If you're going to dictate every little detail, why don't you use your money and open a damn restaurant? So that's the libertarian would then say, okay, we agree that government shouldn't be doing that. So, why not have this law then that says you can't, that the government can't keep me from discriminating based on my religion. All right. That, by the way, when I run into libertarians that make that argument, I just want to slap them upside the head. And I want to go, you're falling into the same trap that Rand Paul fell into. You're falling into the mm-hmm. same trap that Democrats and Republicans fall into. Because if you're trying to make a Democratic, or like let's say I'm a Democrat and I'm trying to make an argument in favor of unions. All I got to do to somebody who's a Democrat is I got to say, look, dude, if we don't have unions, then the corporations can do whatever they want, pay people whatever they want, and we'll go back to the 1920s where they worked in the coal mines and people were dying left and right and they weren't getting paid anything. You want to go back to that? Really? You want to go back to that? And the person's like, no, I love unions. It's like, so you can't be a Democrat right. and hate unions, right? Because you get that argument. It's the same thing with these libertarian guys going down this path, right? So my question to them, and I kind of go into questioning mode. I do the Socratic method of tearing their argument apart, right? I fancy myself a pretty smart libertarian, and I say, okay, why do we need this law? All right. Do we have a problem here? I mean, and it gets back to my, do we have a rash of, are there thousands of businesses being forced to violate their religious beliefs? Well, no, but you know, they could, and they are two different things, right? Second of all, what other laws are we going to make? All right. Now, do we need a law for every cockamamie hypothetical and rare situation that you can think of? Or would our time be better spent saying, look, there are already civil rights laws on the books. You can argue whether that was the best way to go about it or the worst way to go about it or whatever. Those arguments don't matter because they're already on the books. It's illegal to discriminate.
Right. You're trying to pass a law about religious freedom. And meanwhile, decades earlier, people couldn't even drink out of a fucking water fountain, or they're not the same thing.
Right.
But those laws are put there and for a good damn reason. And this is just a bullshit political leaning as opposed to ones with just like, a little bit more legitimacy.
That's a good point. It's a great point. There was an absolutely horrific problem that needed to be solved. Okay.
Yes.
Now, you could have argued back then, and some did, that there are better ways to solve it than making laws about it. And there are probably hundreds or thousands of people doing PhD theses sounds like theses. Anyway, there are probably thousands of people doing their doctorate work on, did it actually solve the problem, or were there other factors that actually solved the problem, and it's just coincidence they passed the law. Fine, you can have all those arguments. Do it in your academia, do it in a thesis, fine. But for those of us that live on planet Earth, there was a problem that needed to be solved. And the government, for better or for worse, the government enacted laws to solve that problem. Okay?
Right.
Now, with this bill, there is no problem that needs to be solved.
Right.
If there is, I haven't heard what it is yet, other than hypothetical, like I said, hypothetical and super rare examples.
Right.
And the problem is, it just leads to people looking at libertarians as, they're bigots, right? They're bigots and racists. They want to go back to where anybody can do anything. And it adds no practical value whatsoever. So that's the, if you're a libertarian, you want to be a libertarian, you want to make the libertarian argument, all you got to do is start with, look, there was a problem that needed to be solved. It was solved with the civil rights stuff. Maybe the free market could have done a better job, but you know what? It didn't. So it didn't get a chance because the government did the laws. Fine. That's over.
Right.
That's settled. Now, what problem are we trying to solve with this law? And that's what leads me to say, it's not about religious freedom. If people were being oppressed, if we needed to solve that problem, then I would say it's about religious freedom. But people aren't being oppressed for their religion. Therefore, it's about bigotry. Thank you. The defense rests. Drops the mic, walks off the stage.
Drops. That's right.
So,
I love how they call this thing, a restoration act.
Yeah.
Like they're fucking Martin Luther, it's that word just sounds really good. It sounds like it gives it more weight than what it really is. Because I looked at it after you said it, I wrote it down. I said it a couple times. I wrote it down. I'm like, even this thing is like, blown completely out of proportion. The title alone is blown completely out of proportion to make it sound like it's a real thing. Because, as soon as you start talking restoration, it just starts sounding like it's a, it's a major thing that has to be done. Like a restoration of a painting. Or a restoration of a famous landmark.
Yeah.
But it's really not. It's just they put that word in there and it, it makes it seem like it's a big damn deal.
The Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if George Orwell were alive, if I were George Orwell and I were alive today, I'd be jumping up and down, waving my arms, going, I told you, this is what it would be like.
I hate it when I'm right.
I hate it when I'm right. He's like, being able to predict the future is a blessing and a curse. Because that the whole doublespeak thing is in such wide use that we don't even notice it. Religious Freedom Restoration Act has nothing to do with freedom. I mean, right? And it's it has nothing to do with religion.
But it has everything to do with an act.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Right. Affordable Care Act. Affordable to who?
Right.
It's like, just because Bill doesn't have to pay, it makes it affordable for him. But, George ends up paying three times as much to make up for it.
But if you notice, the Affordable Health Care Act. Okay. We got Health Care Act, Restoration Act. Care. Restoration.
How can you argue against restoration?
How can you argue against care?
Are you for destruction or restoration?
Yeah, you can't. Whoa. It's like, why do you gotta, and why is it you have to be like either way over here or way over here? Can't, and if you're somewhere in the middle where the logic lay, it's like you're some kind of communist. You're some kind of crazy person. Yeah. But no, I'm the smart one, the logical one that sees the flaw in both arguments. And I'm like, not willing to go either way. Care. Restoration. What other?
Children.
It's like a bowl of soup.
It should be called.
It's like a warm bowl of soup.
It's a warm bowl of nice vegetable soup.
The Affordable Soup Act.
Affordable Soup Act. We were talking earlier about that one guy made that book called Chicken Soup for the Soul and made bajillions of dollars. And if you read the thing, it's like it's like one sentence per page. It's like 100 pages. And you go, why didn't I think of that?
And it's every bad meme you ever read on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the really, really, really like the weak ones that you're just like, huh? Who the fuck shared that?
First you dream it, then you do it.
That's
right. You can dream it. You can do it. Okay, so earlier we were talking about why people hate talking about politics. And another conclusion I came to was some people love it just because they love arguing. And, for me, the reason I was starting to hate it is because I'm like a problem-solving kind of, I have a mindset about, okay, cool, I get it, it's fucked up, but what are you going to do about it, right? So I would like us to at least discuss a little bit about, like, okay, we're all pissed off, and I do believe that most of our listeners are probably pissed off about this. I know that there are some who aren't, and those are the ones I'd like to hear from, because, why not? Why not have a healthy exchange of ideas? But for those of you who are pissed about it, what advice or what words of hope or wisdom can we offer, or what call to action could we have to say, all right, we're all pissed, but what are we going to do about it?
I think we've milked this pig.
All right.
So well, go ahead and finish up a thing and the ending.
We could do that. So, if you're listening to us on RFI.fm, stick around for the Do It Indie Radio Hour coming up next. And with their good buddy MP Cavalier and Tolan. If you're not listening to us on RFI.fm, that's cool too. Be sure and check back next Wednesday, midday, for the midweek DP. And For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. And I do not want any of you to forget nothing you just heard was true.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.